If everyone could stand for our first hymn, Soldiers of Christ Arise, number 513 in your United Methodist hymnal. Thank you for remaining standing as we affirm our faith together with the Apostles' Creed, traditional version, number 881, in your United Methodist hymnal. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Son and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. This time we'd like to bring our prayer requests as well as our praises before the body and before the Lord. Let's see. If y'all will, keep praying for Liliana. She's been fighting a stomach bug on and off. She seems to have conquered it, but she's had a few days this week where she seems to have conquered it, and then it came back. So just keep her in your prayers, if you will. Also, thank you for everyone who's prayed for my back. It feels pretty good today, and I'm very thankful for that. So other than that, I don't have any requests. Does anyone have any requests or praises they would like to share with us?
Pastor.
Yes, sir.
Pray for Dad. He's developed vertigo. Never had it in his life. bad, but it's bad enough he wasn't able to go to church this morning, so he was quite upset.
Okay.
So keep him in your prayer, please.
We definitely will. Does anyone else have any requests or praises they'd like to share? All right. Well, if not, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Thank you, Lord, for this time that we can spend together in fellowship with one another and in worship of you. Lord, we invite your Spirit to dwell amongst us as we attempt with your help to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to pray for so many people. Today, we especially want to remember Arville as he is battling vertigo. We pray that you would help him with that he would get better, that he would be able to continue to do the things that he enjoys doing. And Lord, we pray that you would comfort him today as he's disappointed in not being able to go to church. We pray that you would just help him to worship you, even though he's not able to go to a church to worship you. Remind him that he is part of the universal church and that he can worship you at home as well. Lord, we also want to pray for Liliana, help her to feel better, and for all of those who are having trouble with allergies, sinuses, all of the different things that come with changing of the seasons, as well as just living in East Tennessee. We pray that you would be with everyone. We pray all these things, Lord, and so many more in the beautiful and glorious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as we pray together the words he taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This time, if we could have our children come forth, we will have children's church. I'm sitting with you. Hey, Liam. Well, good morning, both of you. It's good to see y'all here this morning. Anybody know what this is?
Candle.
Candle?
Candle.
What do candles do?
Light.
They light, that's right. This is an electric candle here. So you turn it on, and it pretends like it's a real candle. Jesus told a story. It was actually about lamps, but candles work for us because lamps are kind of finicky. Jesus said that there were these ladies and they had been invited to this party, but they didn't know when the party was going to be exactly. And so they were told, hey, whenever we come and get you, you know, we'll come by and we'll say, hey, party's over this way. So make sure that you have light to do what you need to do so that you can see where you're going. So some of the ladies said, okay, we'll do that. And they said, we got a great idea. We're going to leave our light on all night. Well, the problem is the oil burned out. And when the party came through, these ladies didn't have enough oil to burn. Come here, Goofy. So they couldn't go to the party. Some of the other ladies, they turn theirs off, right? They trim their wicks down and everything. And so whenever the party came through and they said, hey, well, here we go, we're going to go get, the food and everything, they could turn their lights on and they could see where the party was going. Jesus said that if we keep our light burning brightly, we'll miss things, right? We won't get to see everything. We'll use ourselves up. But he said, if we just keep our lights trimmed, if we use the things that we have sparingly, then we'll get to go to the party and we'll get to have candy. And we get to have all kinds of food and all these different things. But Jesus says that you have to pay attention. You have to listen. You have to know what you're getting. There you are, Liam.
I don't like those.
You don't like those? Yeah, they're kind of spicy, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're hot. You want some, sweetie? All right.
Open it for me.
I will in a minute. So if you leave your light shining, it can burn out. But if you take time and you conserve the things that God gives you, you take breaks and you pay attention, then whenever the party comes, you'll have light to see by. Okay? So let's say a prayer after we catch our candy. It's kind of jumpy here this morning. Come here, girl. Let's say a prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Thank you, Lord, for all children everywhere. May you bless the children who are here, as well as those presented by the ones who come to church. Lord, may you help us to have childlike faith as well. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. All right, girl. All right, Liam. Y'all can go to children's church. Get somebody else to do it, sweetheart. It's too hard. If we could have our ushers come forward, at this time we'll worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Thank you, Lord, that as we give back, you remind us that we do not give out of guilt or fear, pride or greed, or any negative reason. Rather, Lord, we give out of love and devotion for you and love for neighbor. May you bless the givers. May you bless the receivers. May all come to know Christ, for it is in his name that we pray. Amen. Thank you for remaining standing as we read our scripture for today. Our scripture today is found in the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. Luke writes, "On one occasion when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. Just then, in front of him, there was a man who had dropsy. And Jesus asked the lawyers and Pharisees, 'Is it lawful to cure people on the Sabbath or not?' But they were silent. So Jesus took him and healed him and sent him away. Then he said to them, 'If one of you has a child or an ox that has fallen into a well, will you not immediately pull it out on a Sabbath day?' They could not reply to this. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. 'When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor, in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. The host who invited both of you may come and say to you, "Give this person your place." And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." He said also to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. When you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." This is the word of God to the people of God. Praise be to God. You may be seated. So we are over halfway through the disciples. Today's disciple is Matthew, also known as Levi. And Matthew is kind of special amongst the disciples because Matthew is the one that probably didn't get along, at least initially, with any of the rest of the disciples. Because Matthew was a tax collector. Anybody here love paying taxes? Probably your favorite thing, right? You might enjoy the benefits that paying taxes give, but you don't enjoy paying taxes, right? You get your paycheck or whatever, and you look and you say, you know, if I didn't have to pay taxes, I'd have like enough money to live on, right? And you say, oh, Uncle Sam keeps taking his money, and nobody likes taxes, right? Nobody likes to pay taxes. Tax time comes at the end of the year. You got to figure out your taxes, and it just seems like every year it gets more and more complicated. Well, I got news for you. People of the first century didn't like paying their taxes either. To make matters worse, for the Jewish people, they had to pay taxes to a government who claimed that their emperor was a god. That would be, of course, blasphemy for the Jewish people. And Jewish people don't really care to commit blasphemy. They've been kicked out of the land. They know what it's like when you commit blasphemy. Punishment comes. That's the way that they have learned things. So they don't like blasphemy. They don't like blasphemers. They also don't like being under the yoke of a pagan authority, somebody who tells them what to do, where to go, all these different things, because to them, God is their authority. So in the first century, the Jewish people rebelled a lot. They didn't like paying their taxes. They didn't like being oppressed. And the Romans got this great idea. As all governments do, they got this great idea, right? They said, you know, the Jews don't really like us. And every time we try and get them to pay taxes, it's this big problem. But if we get one of them to be a tax collector, they'll like him, right? Everybody loves tax collectors, especially when it's one of them. So they went, you know, into different places and they said, hey, we need tax collectors, and people volunteered and became tax collectors. And guess what? It didn't work quite as well as the Romans had hoped it would. To make things even worse, a lot of times tax collectors were greedy. Nowadays, we have ways of checking and correcting. Sometimes it takes a while, but you know, if you feel like you've paid too much tax, you can file petitions and all that, and there's different ways of having checks and balances. Back then, guess what? Rome didn't care if you paid too much in tax, as long as you paid them in tax, right? And so what would happen was, I used Clayton this morning at Chevron. I'll use him again because he's always a good sport. Let's suppose tax time rolls around. Here's Clayton. He's a fisherman. Fishermen weren't too well off. I mean, you know, they had steady income, but it didn't pay a lot. Tax time comes. Clayton comes to me. I'm the tax collector. And I start thinking to myself, now let's see here. Rome requires that Clayton pay $100 for his taxes. Okay. But Billy needs new braces. The wife's really been hitting me up to go to Cancun for you know, second honeymoon. There's this really nice BMW that they just put out, and I'd really like to get one. Clayton, you owe $5,000 in taxes. Clayton says, but he can't do anything about it, right? He's got to pay his taxes. If he complains to Rome, Rome will say, I don't care, figure it out yourself, you know. And if you don't figure it out yourself, you start getting into fights, guess what happens? Rome sends in soldiers and just, you know, annihilates everybody and starts over from scratch. That's how Rome dealt with problems. So Clayton starts to not like me. But to make matters worse, this kind of thing would happen. We'll take Jonathan because Jonathan is always so well-dressed and everything. Jonathan's my good buddy. And he's a merchant. You can tell he's a merchant because he always has the nicest clothes, right? Jonathan shows up right after Clayton. And I say, Jonathan, good to see you. How's the business going? Oh, that's good, that's good. Oh, you made record profits this year? Yeah, that's nice. Oh, you're going to build a second house over by the Dead Sea? Well, you know, it's not the best place to go, but the views are kind of nice. So, you know, that's great. That's wonderful. You should invite us down sometime. Well, I guess we ought to get to the taxes. You owe $100. Now Clayton's trying to figure out how he owes $5,000, and he's barely scraping by. And Jonathan, who's the wealthiest man in town, only owes $100. They didn't pay their taxes, you know, like sometimes you can these days where you just sort of pay them by the month if you want to, or by the paycheck. They paid them when they came to the tax man. So Clayton not only doesn't like me because, you know, I'm in his eyes a traitor to the people, he also doesn't like me because I'm oppressing him and letting my wealthy friend have a break, right? Heck, I could have said, I made so much money off of Clayton, I'll just tell Jonathan he doesn't owe anything and I'll just take it out of Clayton's, you know. And yet, Jesus called Matthew. Everybody else in Jesus' group would have had some level of respect in the community. Fishermen, at least one of Jesus' disciples was a zealot, but some of the other ones may have been zealots. Zealots were extreme religious people, but in a society where you're being oppressed by foreign gods, essentially, somebody who is going to fight against that is going to kind of be your hero, right? I mean, that's kind of how it works. One man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter. Then you got Matthew here. And what's interesting is that even though people misunderstood what the Messiah did, now some of them did believe that the Messiah would be betrayed. So those who did that and who thought Jesus was Messiah, they may have been like, well, yeah, he had to call Matthew because he needed somebody to betray him, right? He's got to have a traitor in the midst. Who better than a tax collector? They're already a traitor. But that's not what happened. Judas, who also may have been a zealot, betrayed Jesus. Matthew traditionally wrote one of the longest gospels. So what does Matthew teach us? The answer to that is found just past the scripture that we read. Jesus starts to talk about it a little bit, but as you go just a little bit further, Jesus tells a parable. Parable goes something like this. Very wealthy man is throwing a party, right? Got a big shindig going. Got lots of food, got lots of drink, got lots of performers, everything's great. He invites all of his wealthy friends. The society pages are just saying how wonderful this is, how great it is. Look at, you know, this is wonderful. Don't you wish you could be invited to this party? And as time draws near, the man starts to ask, hey, how many people have RSVP'd? Well, Bill Gates said that he'd like to come, but he and Melinda are going to Africa to do some, you know, some philanthropic work like they do. Oh, okay. Donald Trump said he'd like to come, but you know, the president's really busy. He's, you know, he's got other things he needs to be doing, so he can't come. Okay. What about the celebrities, right? Well, Spielberg said that he doesn't really want to come. You know that Matthew McConaughey, he's too busy, you know, doing whatever it is that he does. He hasn't even RSVP'd back at all. Renee Zellweger's too busy making Clayton cry and Judy. So I'm sorry, Clayton. Renee Zellweger can't come because she's promoting Judy. Well, what about the other people? We haven't heard back from most of them. So this wealthy man says, I can't believe the gall of these people. Here I've put all this time, all this effort, all this money, all this PR into this big banquet, this big shindig. I've got lobster and crab and shrimp and steak and all the weird French things that nobody likes to eat, but they think they have to because they're wealthy, you know, all this stuff. And I can't believe nobody has shown up. And so very few people have RSVP'd. And I'm going to be embarrassed. And the society pages are going to talk bad about me. So he says, you know what? I don't care who you invite. Go out in the streets. Find anybody. I don't care. Rich, poor, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Protestant, Catholic, gay, straight. I don't care. Invite everybody. Everybody. Tell them there's a big feast coming. So they do. And guess what? People show up for food. And it's this big party, and everything looks great. And the society page reports that this wonderful, wealthy man is such a philanthropist that he doesn't just give the poor like Vienna sausages and Spam. He invites them to banquets with lobster and crab and shrimp. And I know it's getting close to lunch, and now everybody's mad at me because they're getting hungry. And all these other snobby, rich celebrities couldn't be bothered to come because they didn't want to be around all these people. This is essentially the parable that Jesus tells. And Jesus tells them, listen, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. God has invited Israel to be the first guests at a banquet. And Israel kept saying no. Israel kept making excuses. Some people in Israel showed up drunk to the banquet and caused a scene. Some people showed up with people that are antagonistic. And even though when God invited them, he said, hey, bring a friend, they didn't bring any actual friends. because they didn't want to be seen with those Gentiles. So God says, fine. If you guys can't get it together, I'll show you how it's done. And he invites everybody. He doesn't care who they are or who they aren't. He cares that they're hungry, spiritually hungry, physically hungry. And he invites them. The saddest thing I hear over and over from people about why they don't come to church is because they're not good enough. Whatever the reason may be. Clothes aren't good enough. I don't smell very good. I got to overcome this addiction first. The man I'm living with isn't my husband, and in fact, I've had 5 husbands. I'd come, but nobody likes lepers. I can't walk. I was born blind, so obviously God doesn't like me. Brothers and sisters, when we look at Jesus, we see the Father. That's what he tells us in John. When we follow Jesus, we follow the Father. So for us to understand how we interact with people, we have to look at how Jesus interacted with people. When he met the Samaritan woman at the well, he told her, "You've had 5 husbands. The guy you're living with isn't your husband." But God can fix that. The man born blind, he said nobody sinned to cause this man to be born blind. He was born blind so I could heal him, so you could see the power of God. To the woman who had some sort of blood disorder, she was unclean. She was ritually unclean. And she touched Jesus. And he didn't say, "You filthy woman, how dare you touch me? Now I have to go bathe." He simply said, "Your faith has made you whole. Go and sin no more." We make 2 mistakes when we interact with sinners, if you will. We either tell them they're not, that everything they do is okay because Jesus loves them, or we essentially tell them Jesus can't love you until you stop. But Jesus says, follow me. And I will make you whole. He doesn't say make yourself whole and follow me. He says, follow me. And he turned to a man that nobody liked. He turned to a man who was scum, who was a traitor to his people, to a man who extorted people out of money, a man who oppressed the poor, violating everything in the Mosaic law. And he said, follow me. And Matthew followed him. Matthew teaches us that everyone is welcome in the family of God. Everyone. If they need forgiveness, God gives forgiveness. If they need healing, God provides healing. If they murdered countless numbers of people, God can bring them to reconciliation. If they've stolen all the money they can steal, made their mother and their father cry because they can't stop using drugs, Jesus says, come. And I will make you whole. So, brothers and sisters, if we're going to call ourselves the church, we have to invite everybody without caveat. We don't have to like them even. In fact, Jesus says if you don't like them, you have an even greater responsibility to them. Because everybody can love people that they like. But only a follower of Christ can love people that they struggle not to hate. So, brothers and sisters, as we celebrate Holy Communion, we come to the symbolic banquet. Know that you are all invited. Because while we, all of us, were still sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Thank you, Lord, for inviting us. Help us, Lord, to invite others and to remember that just as you have changed us and just as you continue to sanctify us, you can do even to the greatest sinner that has ever walked this earth. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. For Holy Communion, we will be following Word and Table Service 2. It begins on page 12 in your hymnal if you would like to follow along in the hymnal. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's take a moment of silence to prepare our hearts for Holy Communion. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread. He gave thanks to you. He broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.